PFT Media.
Yeah, baby, we're back and energized. We're ready to take over this bad boy.
Woo.
It's the Devils in the Details, episode number 6 at beautiful Crespo Diesel Studios.
Pedro had a vacation in Nambia.
I'm fantastic, refreshed, ready to go. Take it, Freddy. North Korea, it was nice having you in the map.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I said goodbye, sir.
Oh, man.
Episode numero 6. I feel a little bit more refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rough one, that last episode we recorded.
We got through it. It's that hurricane lag.
Whoa, man, that was rough. I sounded horrible. I was so out of place. Couldn't remember things I was saying. But I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
I got the Colombians working on the roof.
Uh-huh.
So I'm getting a new roof, good, a new ceiling, a new bedroom.
Nice.
So everything is...
Ethan Allen collection?
Everything. Yeah, you know, top shelf. Fancy, baby. Puerto Rico, we're still with you. We're doing the campaign. Raul Strong. Have you guys seen on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
With
go ahead and follow La Cueva del Chicken Inn on Facebook.
La Cueva del Chicken, remember that. They're the number one source for hurricane updates.
And pizza.
And restoration and Puerto Rican pizza.
Yeah.
Joining us as always, super producer, owner of the media compound, Chris Crespo.
Yes.
What's up? I'm Pedro Lima, that's Dan Perella over there. And joining us once again, because I felt bad because we had a very subpar show.
We're going to give him a real show.
Yeah, we're going to give him a real show. It's my brother Danny, everybody.
Thank you for having me again. I much appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for playing along. So, Dan, how was your week?
No, pretty good so far, you know. Went to, saw some, you know, movies with the family. And
oh, yeah?
Like
what'd
that.
You see?
Some family went to go see the Ninjago movie.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun. He really enjoyed it.
You did?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so those Lego movies so far have just been...
You can't miss.
Lego movie, I still think, is number one. Like, I think that's like one of the best dystopian films
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I saw the movie. Did you choke up a little bit?
A little bit. I mean, they get you emotional. You know, they pulled
they pulled that dad.
Dad feels at the end.
That was like that Guardian of the Galaxy 2. They got me on that one.
Oh,
that
really?
Gave me the dad feels.
When the Hasselhoff came on?
No, when Michael Rooker does the whole, he may have been your dad. He may have been your father,
yes.
But it, and you know, I'm sitting there with my stepson watching it, and I'm like,
I'm your Yondu.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yo. So yeah, when they get you, man, they tug at you.
I took my kids, and by kids I mean Samantha and Brianna, to see It.
Uh huh.
Really enjoyed it. Believe it or not,
I've been hearing great things.
And
about
hate clowns. I hate clowns. But here's the thing: I hate when clowns are trying to be too effing cute.
Okay.
That's the type of clown I hate.
So sinister clowns, you're good with.
I'm good with this one.
Openly evil clowns are fine with.
It's because, yes, that's so, their true intention.
So Ronald McDonald, no.
No.
Annoying clowns at Cirque du Soleil when you're trying to see it. Sit.
No.
Bozo the clown.
Homie the clown.
Hey, here's the thing. I grew up with
Homie the clown.
Homie the clown is dope.
Yeah.
Bozo the clown gets a pass.
Okay, Bozo
so
gets
does
a pass.
Cookie.
Okay.
But the wizard,
yeah,
market, because I grew up watching the Bozo show.
Okay,
And I always wanted to do the bucket.
The buckets, yes. The buckets. Yo, the buckets. Yeah, the Nintendo at the end when I was watching. I was like, I want that Nintendo, man.
Yo,
when I was watching
it. I remember watching that show because they would show the Transformers in there.
There's a movie that tugs on heartstrings when you were a kid.
Transformers? Yes.
The Death of
Transformers.
The one with Shia LaBeouf?
We're talking about the one with the master of film, Orson Welles.
as Unicron.
Unicron.
Yes. And Judd Nelson's in that?
Judd Nelson is Hot Rodimus Prime.
Hot Rodimus?
Remember when we saw it in Brooklyn?
Okay, so here's the thing. My brother comes and visits me for New Year's Eve. Right? And we're like, all right, we're going to go, let's go party and stuff like that. We ended up at my buddy's house in Bed-Stuy. And we get all smacked up, and we start watching the Transformers.
Hold up. Smacked up means like we just got high.
We don't play with a needle.
That'd be a weird.
You. Good, clear it up. Yeah.
Who's heroin and Transformers? That'd be an interesting combination. Yeah. Passing out.
Yeah, they can't even do. Yeah, they can't even do the Transformer. Yo, that Transformer. All
right, so you did a bunch of heroin and then put on the
music. No. We smoked weed, and it's me, my brother, and then my buddy. Oh my God, what the hell was his name?
Johnny, Jimmy, Eddie.
No, Bobby. Well, it's funny. His rapper name was Nice Guy Eddie, but it was when I was working at Fox, and we're watching Transformers movie. And they cursed in that movie, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They did curse. There's one time that they curse.
What did they say?
I can't remember, dude. But that movie was hilarious.
It
was a scene in the lake.
There was a scene in the lake that was like, it got really creepy with Rodimus putting his hand around a little boy.
It was like a pedophile in that moment.
It's good spending time with you, Johnny.
But here's the point that I remember. So it's New Year's Eve or whatever. So New Year's goes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we're leaving. And we're about to go out the door, pop, 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 couple gunshots. We're like, we're going to stay here for 30 minutes and then we're going to, then we'll go out.
But then, out the back. Well, no, because then it was like us walking in Brooklyn. And mind you, I'm visiting, so I'm here in my Orlando Magic jacket.
Oh, yeah. Like, that guy's not from here.
I got the gear. I got the New York gear. I got my mittens. I got my pea coat. I got everything.
I'm in my Walmart Orlando Magic jacket.
Here's what I remember. I remember getting on the subway. So I'm living at the Bronx at the time. So we got to go from Brooklyn all the way to the Bronx. That's like a good hour and a half because it's going to stop almost on every little stop. But we're in the train, and I open my eyes. We're the lightest people in the train.
Like we are the vanilla sprinkles and the chocolate cake.
To the point that I remember looking, and I'm like, oh, my hands are showing. I put the gloves back on.
Is this a real story, or are you retelling the Warriors?
I had plastic bottle things.
Hey, bro.
Come on. Run and play. So it was great.
Okay.
That kid that the Skarsgård Bill Skarsgård. Yo, dude.
Those Skarsgårds are great, man.
Yo, dude, they are so good.
Mm-hmm.
What's that Netflix show he was on?
Hemlock Grove.
Hemlock Grove.
Yeah, I remember that one. Is that a Netflix show?
Yeah, it was.
Or was that Showtime?
It ate it, didn't it? Or three seasons. It wasn't received well.
Is that the one that Frankenstein and stuff like that?
Werewolves.
It was supposed to be like a werewolf vampire diaries. It was kind of trying to counter that.
It had Famke Janssen. And I think part of the storyline was him banging his sister.
Classy.
Yeah.
That's what werewolves do. I'm thinking one Showtime. Showtime had a show.
You're talking about Penny Dreadful. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Penny Dreadful was good, but also got taken out a little bit early, too.
No Skarsgård in that,
but a lot of great actors in that one.
Skarsgårds are dope, dude.
He was character. Good.
He was so good.
No, Skarsgårds are fantastic. They are the Barrymores of modern cinema.
Start drooling in front of the kids. Like, there was some good drooling. Like, it wasn't
the way he made his eye. Yeah, he could actually do that. And then he makes his eye like deviate to the side, so they split weird. And they told him,
"That's not Viking training, right there."
Yeah, they told him, they're like, "We're gonna do this with CGI." I said, "Actually, I can do it for real." This is during like the rehearsal process.
You just
saved
me $30,000.
Yeah,
essentially,
we like you, kid.
Like, man, we got lucky with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Skarsgård for part two, he's getting paid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he's already been paid for a second when he signed the contract and everything. They probably did it. They signed him to do two movies.
I would be like, listen, you better give me that CGI money or I'm not moving the eyes at all.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to get those Green Lantern guys in
Serkis. Andy Serkis.
Oh, circuses.
Yo, that guy.
It's so frustrating that they don't want to give him the Academy Award nods because a lot of the time he's CGI'd for his movements, which is just so ridiculous.
But I was so impressed, like, for Gollum, first of all.
No, yeah.
Then he does Kong.
Uh-huh.
Then he did...
Caesar.
Caesar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was... You know how much I love Planet of the Apes.
I know.
I haven't seen the third one, though.
It's good.
Because I'm so afraid, because every time the third movie always sucks.
Not in this case.
No?
There are no Ewoks in this one.
There's no Ewoks. But it's an intense movie. It's a war movie. It's like,
whoa. But like X-Men. X-Men's very good. Boom, boom, boom. And then Apocalypse. X3 killed. It's like,
Oh, the and most recent X-Men. X-Men. X-Three
never happened.
Yeah.
X-Three never happened.
The last day.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch. And click.
Yeah. Actually, with Days of Future Past, they made it so X-Three didn't happen. And now they're going to redo this story from the third one for the next X-Men movie. X-Men Dark Phoenix. They're doing it all over
They're just dragging it through the mud because they don't want Marvel
Logan
to get the
rights
back.
That's Logan was great.
Was it? Okay. I stopped after Wolverine Origins. I was like,
I promise you.
The next two are good. Watch the Wolverine and then watch Logan. They're both good. Okay. Logan is great.
I wasn't a big fan of the Wolverine.
I liked Wolverine. I liked it. Didn't love it. I kind of love Logan.
Wolverine Origins started good, and then it just petered off.
I started giving me like the first 5 minutes, or like the opening credit sequence with the wars, and then the movie starts, and then it's terrible.
Which is too bad, because you're throwing away Liv Schreiber at that point.
That is a shame, actually. It is a shame.
You know.
And it's like when they, and it's the point that I'm like, what? When they shut Deadpool's mouth.
Yeah. Like,
what are you doing?
The Mark with the mouth, they sold his mouth.
Deadpool, Cyclops, Wolverine, Hybrid.
It was terrible.
So dumb.
Baraka.
They turned him into Baraka.
Baraka from Mortal Kombat. So movies. Do you let your kids watch anything scary, or are you very protective?
No, they actually choose not to. I've actually tried to even have one of my kids watch just something as simple as what's that movie? Oh, the original. The one from the 80s with Harry Anderson.
Oh, okay.
And Tim Curry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were just
rest his soul. Is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Okay. He's still alive.
I'll take it back.
Hi, Anderson.
He had
next
a
episode.
But just in case he died this week, rest in peace, Tim Curry.
Rest in power.
So like they just would not watch it. Like my son would just like all of them would just go.
And
somewhere else.
How's your son? 25 years old.
I'm scared, Daddy.
Yeah, no, he saw sevens. Oh no, shit.
Seven?
No, sorry. 9 years old.
Oh, I thought you said he saw the movie Seven.
Yeah, that's an intense movie to watch.
Yo!
Yeah, no wonder.
Especially for a 9-year old.
Hey, he won't watch Tim Curry as a clown, but he'll watch Seven.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey.
Detective!
Cutting off his own fingertips.
Yo, that, man, I can talk movies all day.
Yep.
But we gotta get to the nitty gritty, B.
Mm-hmm. Let's do some learning.
Yeah, let's do this. And we forgot to mention this on the last episode. And this is serious. That's serious. Not only Puerto Rico, Raul Strong. But rest in peace, Bobby Heenan.
Bobby.
It's
that hurt.
That's
that hurt.
Man, but he had to go, dude.
I mean,
the way he was suffering and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Once he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise that he went.
Yeah.
You know, it just was sad to see.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. It was the time was due.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that guy was hilarious.
It was the best.
You go to YouTube and the clips.
You can't top him.
No.
No manager can ever top him. No personality can ever top him.
I think that the closest thing we have now to that is Corey Graves.
Okay.
Because he knows how to.
Right.
But he's not like intentionally funny like Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, no, Bobby just, it was so natural with him. It was just so, And it felt like he was writing your lines mm-hmm. as you were talking to him, because he already had something ready for it.
And back then, you could say you're from Beverly Hills.
Uh huh.
Just because you're blonde, but he's from Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was anybody who he worked with. He could work. He looked. He made Shivani look like gold. Mm-hmm. You know.
But he was the best part of Monday Nitro for a long time.
Oh God, yeah.
And he had to deal with Mongo McMichael. You know.
He made people look like $1 million. He worked with the best. He was one of the nicest guys backstage, too. Yeah. A saint backstage.
So my favorite combo, Bobby Brain wrestler combo, is when he managed Mr. Perfect. I thought that was the best.
Yes.
Brain with Mr. Perfect, those like conflated egos together and the way they fought each other.
The best commentary,
awesome.
Bobby Heenan and Monsoon, the 1992 Royal Rumble. With Ric Flair in there.
When Ric Flair was number one, the first person
in. Yeah, that was the best commentary. Just listening to that commentary. He's so good.
I want
to
go back and watch that one.
I'm gonna pull the network. Yeah. I'm going to find that one.
Find the 92 Rumble. It not only is one of the most entertaining Rumbles of all time, the best commentary between him and Monsoon.
Man.
Yeah. Now, since his passing, they actually started posting videos of like when he wrestled in Japan. Have you ever seen him?
Oh, he can bump. He can work.
Yeah, he could work.
Like, oh, he can take some mean.
Yeah, he took a lot of bumps in the 80s.
He was one of the best. People said he was like natural talent when he first started. People said he was on level with Ric Flair. He just decided, well, I can get the same amount of money by taking one bump every few months, or I can take a bump every single night. He's like, I think I'll go this way.
Yeah. He know how to. Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. Great, 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 great. Great. So rest in peace, Bobby Heenan.
Yep.
And so now he's with Mr. Fuji. And speaking of Mr. Fuji, you see what I did there? Here you go.
I see what you almost did there.
you're this close, bro. You're this close.
That's fine, but it takes.
We'll talk about Japan's neighbor.
So close. China. Who are we talking about? China.
China. We will get to China.
Antifa. China. China.
I don't think Antifa is in.
Antifa.
We're going to get to the last Dragon. Pure giant.
Oh, okay.
The last pure Chinese dynasty was the Ming Dynasty.
Ming Dynasty.
Mm-hmm, Ming Dynasty.
This was when they captured Flash Gordon.
No.
No.
They okay. are not as merciless.
Oh, okay.
As that.
Wait, wait. Boom. My man. My man.
So, this is the last of the pure Chinese dynasties.
Okay.
It's not the last Chinese dynasty in history, but it's the last pure Chinese. This is the last.
What made it pure?
These were the people originally from what's known as the Han Province. So these are the descendants of what people consider the first golden empire, the Han Dynasty.
Okay.
So this is the first. This is the last time the ethnic Chinese are going to be in control of their country.
Okay.
And then the next dynasty is actually going to be. We'll get to that.
Okay.
You know, we'll get to that.
Spoilers.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Now, is this pre-Confucius or post-Confucius?
This is post-Confucius. Confucius is 500 BCE. So he's already written his stuff. Everything in China is based off of the Confucian system. We're going to move into the year. It's about 1360 here.
I tell you, somebody who's going to be very Confucius.
It's going to be. Hey-o!
Okay. I'm sorry. Easy joke, Nick.
That's right. Sponsored by Rolling Rock.
Okay.
All right. So last time we talked about China, we actually talked about it in our last show, the Mongols were controlling China. So that's over now. By 1360, the Chinese have kicked the Mongols out, and they're now in control of their own empire. They're in control of their own country, and they're going to name it the Ming Dynasty.
Okay.
Just because that's the province where the guy came from.
Okay.
So that's what you name it after. You name it from the province you're from.
So it wasn't because the guy Ming is the guy that came up with
it. Right. His name was not Ming or anything like that. And so this is a really cool dynasty. It's where we get a lot of culture that we think of as normally Chinese really comes out of the Ming here. Especially the porcelain that they made at this time. It was a special porcelain with that lacquer on it. And that's why we call the nice plates
China.
China.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Break out the fine China.
The fine China. It's from the lacquer porcelain that comes here out of the Ming Dynasty.
We got it from the Orient.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't there also, isn't Ming vases a thing too?
Yep, and the Ming vases, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, their porcelain is in demand by everyone.
Hmm.
And they come into power just before the Europeans are going to be showing up. So,
everything.
Yeah, it's actually going to be, this is, The Ming Dynasty is one of the first casualties of globalization at this point. And it's really kind of tragic what happens to them, because they really, they use the old system, which has helped every Chinese government since to rise. And they're just not prepared for the new world that's about to slap them right in the face. So that's what we're going to see here in the Ming Dynasty, and why it rises so tremendously, but why it also falls so, so quickly once the Europeans and modern economy starts to get in there and screw it up a little bit. There.
Okay.
So it really is a lot of foreign interactions that cause it to fall.
So what are they going after?
They're not going after anything.
They just
want to be China.
Okay.
And they want everyone to come to them. They want to be...
So they open a superstore, but nobody's coming to the superstore.
They are the... Yeah, China can think of it as the Costco of its time. They want... You can pay for things there, but first you got to pay tribute to them. So you got to buy the membership before you spend money.
Got it.
That's what they were at this time. Big superstore. You pay tribute to the emperor, and then you can spend some money. Okay?
China first.
Right. China first. China first.
The t-shirts are made in America.
By Aztecs. We got the Aztecs working for them. So they're known for a couple of things. The first...
Nunchucks.
The first encyclopedia is written in...
I was about to say that.
Right? But the emperor's name is Yongle. Y-O-O-N... G-L-E.
I would have loved it if you were to say J-U-N.
J-U-N.
G-L-E.
Yongle.
Maiden name books.
So he creates this huge encyclopedia of everything Chinese. Okay. And then what Yongle is known for, he's the greatest of these Ming emperors, is his huge treasure fleets. Okay.
Okay.
He wants to open up trade in places that the Chinese used to be, but the markets have closed ever since the Mongol invasions.
Okay. What are the Mongols in all this?
The Mongols are now back in Mongolia. They're done. Okay. They're
they got swept away, remember?
They got... We're doing callbacks? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the failed Japanese invasions, the Black Plague hits the Mongol.
Oh, word.
It starts off first in the Yuan Dynasty, and it kills all these Mongols off before it gets to Europe. And that's how the Ming are able to take the advantage and overthrow them.
Oh, they had that rat resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Black Plague hits them first.
Hardcore. Is that the same as the bubonic plague?
It is. It starts in China.
It is the same. Okay.
Yeah. Everything starts in China.
Everything.
Everything starts in there. Yeah, it's true. Even gunpowder. So
pasta.
Which is going to come back. Yeah,
isn't pasta start
in China? Pasta is a Chinese thing, too. Mm-hmm. The Italians take a lot from China. That happens.
Italians take a lot of everything.
They did take a lot. Yeah.
Did the Ming Dynasty get to hang out with the douche?
No, they don't. Oh. They don't cross paths.
Okay.
The Doge is quite dead now.
Okay.
Now the Ming Dynasty is really reaching its peak even before Columbus is born, before any of this, the Age of Exploration is really kicking off.
So they're sending up little satellite Costco places,
right? And they're sending out this huge fleet, the largest fleet that's assembled at this time. And it is captained by the emperor's favorite eunuch. His name is Zheng He. Okay. He is a Muslim eunuch who works for the Chinese.
Was the eunuch part on purpose?
Yes.
It was. He sacrificed it.
In order to work in the Chinese palace, you had to be a eunuch.
Really?
Because the emperor didn't want you looking at his wives and concubines.
What?
No bras breeding, bro.
What?
That way you couldn't be.
Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you want to work at the? You want to work over here? Yeah.
You want steady employment?
Yeah. And then what are the benefits like? Oh, they're great. They're great benefits. Yeah. You know.
You
get weekends off. It's like, all right, when do I start? How soon can you remove your nuts? What? What? Yeah, you want to work here?
Yeah. Hey, the emperor didn't like anybody messing with his concubines and his wives.
Really.
Mm-hmm. And that way you couldn't conspire with any of his wives because you had no incentive.
But the incentive is now.
You couldn't overthrow him because what sons would you leave to continue your legacy?
Wow. So he just made the people that worked in the office, the generals, I'm pretty sure, were...
Generals were well hung.
Yeah, of course. Was that one general? Is that the name of one general?
General well hung?
General well hung, yep. There was a general called Huang Gai, but we'll get to him.
Huang Gai.
Huang Gai. Is the Huang Gai.
Huang Gai.
You mess with the wrong guy.
Coming to CBS.
So one of these eunuchs, he converted to Islam, and he's like the most trusted friend of Emperor Yongle. Sure. Yeah, because the Ming Dynasty was letting in any religion at this time.
Yeah,
they're open. Well, as long as China first.
Talk to the light, Carrie Ann. To the light. Okay. Sorry. Guess otherwise you sound out. Say that again.
But it's always China first.
China first.
China first.
Like China great.
Testicles second. I can't believe
you
this.
You can be that. You can be a Muslim.
I can't believe this dude chopped his nuts to work with
they
this
all
guy.
Did. He had like hundreds they of all, ministers.
Shut up.
He had hundreds of eunuchs working for him.
I thought eunuchs chopped off their unit, not their nuts.
No, everything goes.
I think everything goes. Yeah, everything goes.
Yeah, the twigs and berries.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The Ken doll effect.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned this from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and that's why they also puff up too.
Yeah, because they have no, and they get real feminine because there's no testosterone going on.
Yeah.
That's why Paul McCartney looks like Angela Lansbury. The girl with the one leg visibly removed his testicles.
Oh, ouch.
And I think she won Dancing with the Stars. I'm not
Did
sure.
Did she win? I don't know.
Who knows?
Who cares?
Go.
All right. So, and this is where you get the common belief that the Chinese might have discovered America first in 1421. Okay. It's the treasure fleet of Zhenghe. But no real evidence actually comes up out of that, and most Chinese historians disclaim it as just some crazy writing from an ex-Navy guy.
Just, but hey, just well, some drunk.
Yeah.
Did he not bring like wild animals from Africa
he
into
did.
China?
He did, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he brought rhinos and lions.
Shut up.
Yeah, he went to Africa, traded with Africa, and brought in for the emperor giraffes and rhinos and all these things.
There's Chinese giraffes?
Well, there were giraffes.
I know there's the tigers.
There were giraffes in his zoo. Yeah, in the emperor's zoo.
Oh, okay. So he was like Pablo Escobar. Escobar had like a panda and all this other shit.
Right, exactly. He made his own Xanadu, basically.
The tiger. He got a tiger or a lion? A lion?
Whatever he wanted. He had the whole thing. Whatever he wanted. He's the emperor.
Yeah.
He gets elephants. He gets pygmies. Doesn't matter for him.
They're all the same. Babar?
Babar's there. Yeah,
Babar's there. That's how he learned how to rule.
Yeah.
So. Then it's the Babar dynasty.
But that's crazy. It's just, I'll trade you this plate. Give me that tiger over there.
Uh-huh.
When we get there, we'll chop its peanuts off.
I don't think he was worried about the giraffes seducing his wives. But you never know. You never know. So, flash forward. So they're having this golden age, of course. Then we flash forward. Let's talk about, of course, the destruction here. What brings them ultimately to their demise? And it's so many different factors. And it really stems with globalization. By 1600, even earlier than that, about 1580 or so, 1570, Japan is in the middle of a civil war.
Okay.
And so the Europeans are going over there and they're selling their guns to all the Japanese warlords. Okay, so this is, it's a very lucrative change.
Is this when Tom Cruise loses his samurai degree?
No, this is the knock, knock, who's there? Portugal brings guns, and then here comes Spain, brings more guns.
But when does Tom Cruise fight with the samurai?
It's like 1800s, right?
Yeah, it's 1800s. Oh, okay. And it's not even an American.
Okay.
Yeah, he's actually, it's two French guys that they merged together into one Tom Cruise.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all know that math actually checks out. So.
Tom Cruise is two French guys.
It's the equivalent. All right.
Him and his butt implants.
Japan is in chaos.
Japan's in chaos, so the Europeans are making a nice buck.
And China's just looking, that's our next market.
China's doing well because the Europeans are all the way, are already in Japan, so they figure we'll stop off in China, we'll trade too. So China's doing well, their trade is going pretty decently.
So they pretty much just wanted to be like merchants kind
of
deal.
They really wanted to be center of the world. Yeah.
They had no intentions of conquering or anything like that.
Never have. In all of Chinese history, they're not interested in conquering anything else but kind of Asia. They're like interested in Asia and that's about it.
They want to keep control of their own centralized space. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But we get a little bit of nationalistic problems here, though.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, the New World is kind of hurting the Chinese economy, though, because they're starting to get all these things in, like potatoes and tomatoes and Irish. All these things we talked about, right?
Oh, the actual potatoes.
Yeah. No, not the Irish.
I thought you were using slang.
No. Actual potatoes and stuff. And so the people of China are really wanting this stuff, which means that the Chinese are now dependent on European goods, which is not what they wanted. You know, that's the basis of mercantilism.
It flipped on them.
It's starting to, yeah. And they used to charge so much in gold for all of their silk and products and stuff to keep them powerful and to keep Europe only buying certain
amounts. So these assholes couldn't do a Farmville kind of thing and learn how to plant a stupid potato so that way they don't depend on the European.
Didn't they have a lot of failed agriculture at that time too?
Why?
Because they didn't know how to grow potatoes.
How hard can it be? Just put the stupid thing on the ground.
It really is pretty...
Shit, I keep a bag of potatoes in my house and I forget about it. All of a sudden, I got like a garden coming out of my kitchen with these stems and stuff like that.
It just didn't work out for China. For some reason, the farming didn't work out
Dummies.
For them. Yep.
They're like, we'll draw on it like we do rice. You know?
But you can't draw on it.
So China's first big mistake economically is they get tired of the Spanish buying everything with all this gold because now Spain has all this gold.
It's the official appearance of the Crespo cat. The Crespo cat made an appearance. See, I told you the Crespo cat.
He's there.
This is when we start talking about animals. Mm-hmm. This is the animal portion of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
All right, so they decide that they are going to stop taking gold as payment. They are going to take only silver as payment.
Wow, they changed that.
They changed the currency.
Famous last words.
They redo their entire currency system so that they'll only take silver.
So they're trying to make silver a thing.
Yeah, and because the Spanish have lots of gold, but they don't have a lot of silver.
So they're like, oh, this is more valuable.
Uh-huh, and that way Spain buys less. But then.
What happened?
In 1560, the Spanish are still discovering the New World, and they get to a little area known as Bolivia.
And Bolivia has what?
Bolivia has 2/3 of the world's silver.
Shut up. These Chinese. When you think you know the answers, I change the questions. It's like, well, we do have the answer. The answer is Bolivia. Okay, so now these dummies get Bolivia.
And so now the Chinese economy just bottoms out because all the silver is coming in. And they can't convert back to gold just so easily. It took a whole thing.
Did they try for bronze?
No, they just took the hit.
Wow.
They couldn't do anything else. They took the hit.
So they had to sell everything to Spain, and Spain just started collecting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Now, all this time while this is happening, there's this barbarian group up in northern China. You know the area of Manchuria, right? Uh-huh. There used to be a separate tribe called the Manchus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a candidate up there.
Yes, a Manchurian candidate. His name is Nerhachi.
Nerhachi.
Nerhachi. Mm-hmm. We'll get to him. So they were cool with being ruled by China for a little while. And then China, in order to kind of save its economy, started making new laws against their people, against their conquered people. It was that you couldn't buy goods from another territory that China had. You had to go to China for that territory, mm-hmm. for that territory's goods. So in other words, if the Manchus wanted Korean goods, they couldn't just sail over to Korea and buy Korean goods. They had to go to China to buy Korean goods.
Which would get the inflation.
Mm-hmm. When you have to pay Chinese prices. So they're getting angry at that. So
I like how you're trying to translate this thing that I've never worked with Dan before.
Well, like you're trying to. I'm just trying to add to it.
But you're looking at me like, get it, stupid? Like, no, I'm not going to get it. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. But you're like giving me the whole translation. And this is why the chip is big. Motherfucker, I'm going to throw some market. No, add in, but don't look at me when you add in, because then you started giving me a complex. Because he looks at me, and he goes, and this is what I said. Like. Yo, you're not teaching me shit, B.
Uh, So this starts to sow the seeds of resentment for the Manchus, which we'll get to in a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay. But they're very angry. They start adopting the Mongolian language and Mongolian culture because they really just want to
They're trying to bring it back?
Just to anger the Chinese, they're going to adopt the culture of their most hated enemy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So with the Mongols are they just still?
They're still out there. They're done. But these Manchus, these Manchus who are a threat start dressing and talking like Mongolians, just to kind of get at them.
What year is this?
We're looking at 1580.
Okay, yeah. So this is what's homeboy the Genghis.
Genghis dead.
Dead.
Genghis
long dead.
Genghis long dead. Yeah.
I'm not good with the dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been dead for a while now, so he's done.
Genghis is what time period?
1100s.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's born in 1148, I think, something like that. Where are we? Okay, so Manchus, right?
Manchus.
All right. So if that couldn't get worse, couldn't get much worse.
Uh huh.
Japan finally unites in 1600.
Okay.
Okay. Under a guy named Hideyoshi Toyotomi.
Okay, the guy, the Toyota.
Go ahead. Right. Yeah. So he decides he wants some territory, and so he's going to invade Korea, which China owns. It's called the Imjin War.
Okay.
There's no engines involved, but it's called the Imjin War.
Why is it called the Imjin War?
I don't. My Japanese is not so good, so I don't know what Imjin actually means.
Okay.
On that one.
So the Japanese word, not as an Imjin, it's as a derogatory word for Indian.
It's I M J I N, Imjin War.
Imjin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Imjin
Heap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they invade Korea, and China. They bring their big army. They're like, oh. Japan wants something.
We got this.
China's never been defeated in Asia except for the Mongols. You know, China's like, whatever. These Japanese guys, they've tried before, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So they get there and they don't realize something. The Japanese have guns now.
They don't realize.
Because they've been trading for the Europeans.
So the Chinese are showing up with what?
Swords and crossbows and the traditional.
This is what I'm talking about.
You were waiting for this. You were waiting for this.
This is the movie I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Here comes nunchucks riding an elephant and stuff like that.
Throwing stars.
Throwing stars. Yeah, dude, you can't reload on those bad boys.
So the Japanese army just inflicts defeat after defeat onto the Chinese.
Sure.
Because they're not used to this gunpowder.
As one guy's loading up the arrow, that guy says, clip up.
Mm-hmm.
Clap, clap.
So it's, and the Chinese just losing.
Yeah.
But they end up winning this war.
How?
Strength in numbers.
Okay.
So the Japanese just run out of people.
And ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go.
Yeah. And the guy, Hideyoshi, he dies in Japan, and the next guy decides not to do any more foreign wars.
Okay.
So Japan loses, and China wins really by the skin of their teeth.
Okay.
This has cost them an insane amount of money. Half their army is dead now.
Oh.
And
the Manchus are ready.
And guess who attacks?
Oh, my boys.
Uh-huh.
The Manchurian candidates are riding down.
Uh-huh. So they, they wait 10 years and they attack. China is still beyond.
Unlike those stupid Mongols that waited 10 years to get hit by the same stupid hurricane.
Yep. No, this is a land-based attack. And the only thing that stops the Manchus from totally wiping them out is the Great Wall. Can't get over it.
Matt Damon's defending it.
Pablo, what's his name as well? It's Oberyn's there as well.
Oh, Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal, that was it. So they're there. So they can't get past the Great Wall. They don't have enough siege equipment. So it's a stalemate. Okay?
Okay.
China's still hurting. It's still decimated from all this stuff. Now.
Who built that wall?
The Ming Dynasty finishes it, but it was started 1,600 years ago by Emperor Qin Shi Huang.
Wow.
It took a long time.
Did the Ming Dynasty finish it?
They finished it.
And they just said, we're going to stop here.
Or they abandoned it.
They definitely finished it from as long as, it's 5,000 miles. So they finished it where they wanted it to be done. So that's the only thing stopping them is the Great Wall. And it's under the command of Ming Dynasty's greatest general. His name is Wu Sangwei.
Okay.
Musang. Emperor loves him. He's like, hey, Wu Sangwei.
Take your dick off.
No, better.
He's well hung.
He's gonna let him use it. Gives him the most beautiful woman in his kingdom.
Shut up.
Chen Yuan Yuan.
So the guys the boys he's been rolling with the whole time,
mm-hmm.
They're like, ah, oh, yo, he's gonna watch. He's gonna get his dick cut off. And this guy presents him a chick, and they're like, what the what?
And not just any chick, like, considered the hottest chick in the nation.
My hottest concubine.
For saving the nation from the Manchus, yo, this is my hottest piece. It's yours now.
Wow.
And he's like, all right, cool. I'll just stay here in the wall. He eventually, every now and then, goes to the capital city to visit the wife, but, you know, wife that he doesn't want in the war zone. So they visit from time to time. So, but more bad news, though.
What?
It's not over yet.
Here. No.
No, it's going to end here. Japan's new emperor, or shogun, is a guy. His name is, he's the shogun. That's his title.
Okay.
It's the number two guy in Japan.
How come they don't use that title anymore? We go emperor.
Prime minister now.
Prime minister. No, but don't they go emperor? They don't go emperor anymore.
They do have an emperor. They still have an emperor.
They have an emperor?
It's the longest royal line in history. That emperor is from the same bloodline when it first started in 800 BC. It's longer than any bloodline in history. It's unbroken. But they still do have an emperor. But yeah, they don't have a shogun anymore. They have a prime minister. But the shogun back then was a man by the name of Ieyasu Tokugawa.
Spell it.
Go. Challenge.
And so he's changing Japan. We'll get a little bit more into the Edo period, you know, in a different lecture and everything like that. But then his grandson, he starts to worry about the Europeans. He thinks they're there to take over, which they probably were.
Sure, because that's what white people do.
It was the Spanish and the Portuguese just kind of licking their lips and being like, yeah, that's some nice land you got there.
And they're trying to convert people to Christianity.
Yeah, they were already starting that, and they were just like, this place would look great with a couple of black slaves, you know.
You know, this place over here. This place needs more crosses.
Yep.
We need crosses and guilt.
So before they can even get to it, the Shogun Tokugawa shuts down Japan completely. No one in, no one out.
Okay.
Shuts down all the ports. No Spanish, no Portuguese. All Europeans have to go.
Japan first.
And no Japanese are allowed to leave without permission from the emperor. Wow. So it's on lockdown for 200 years.
Wow. So it's like Cuba.
Yeah.
Castro's Cuba.
No one in, no one out. Yep.
Well, Castro let people in, just no Cuba.
No one in, no one out. And it was actually a peaceful time, but we'll get to that later, obviously.
Of Cuba?
No. The Japanese lockdown. No, it's actually a peaceful time.
Say that
time.
In front of a Cuban.
Yeah, very peaceful time. Didn't hear a peep out of them. Cars are still running.
So,
what are you talking about?
Let me ask you this. I know. It's
okay.
Were people trying to get away from Japan with the lockdown or no?
No one was trying to get away from Japan. They were pretty obedient.
Okay.
But no Europeans over there mean they weren't going to China for any side trips either. So China loses another hit in its economy.
Wow. They're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I need my business.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we're closing this.
Yep.
What do you mean you're closing this? Open the shit up. I need to traffic.
And things are getting bad. It's still during the cooling phase, so droughts and famines are hitting China at this time.
So why are they going? Why are the merchants going to Japan first and then to China?
Because
you're making it sound like Japan is Disney, and Disney decided to shut down, and then China's like the hotels being like, yo, what are you doing? I need the traffic.
It's because the Chinese only had ports for the Portuguese at this time, whereas the Japanese had the Dutch and the English and the Spanish.
Okay,
and the Portuguese,
so it's a variety type of thing.
More variety, and then they would stop off and trade a little bit in the Portugal's area. But now with that shut down, less people are coming to China, and so they're getting this huge financial hit too. So there's a revolution inside China.
Okay.
They eventually decide the emperor is not doing anything.
Oh.
His eunuchs are running everything.
Yeah.
By this time, the emperors are just hanging out in their luxury palaces, not dealing with anything.
And here comes...
They're riding on their rhinos.
And here comes the guy that saved China.
He's still on the wall, defending China.
Oh, he's still...
He's a hardcore patriot.
Oh, so he doesn't know what's going down.
He sort of knows.
He planted it.
But no, I wish.
Twist.
It's called the Red Scarf Rebellion. Okay.
Why?
Because they all wore red scarves.
But then it had a good significance.
No,
they just had red scarves
just to tell each other apart. They all wore red. It's led by this guy named Li Zhecheng. Okay.
Good thing it was in like a more feminine color.
There was a yellow turban rebellion years ago.
Yellow turban.
Yellow turban.
There was like a yellow turban
rebellion. Easier to spot people if it's a yellow turban.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just running around with yellow turban. This is before Sikhism too, so
they're ahead of the curve.
So this guy Li Zhecheng overthrows the empire.
Okay.
The last emperor of the Ming Dynasty hangs himself. In disgrace and shame.
Oh, he didn't do the... What's that?
No, seppuku, no.
Seppuku?
Yeah, none of that.
Seppuku perle? I thought it was... was that Harakari or something like that? Isn't that?
That's what one... Yeah, it used to be the old pronunciation, but it's actually seppuku.
Seppuku?
Seppuku.
The sword in the... Yeah, the sword in the... Yeah. And yeah, he just... He hung himself in his garden from a tree.
Wow. So yeah. He didn't even do the honorable thing. Well, he's
Chinese. He's Chinese. He's still taking his own life type of thing. Dishonor. So this new guy's in charge.
Who's the new guy?
Li Zhecheng.
Okay.
And he is just as bad as the emperors. He really was in it for himself. Wu Songwei doesn't like what's going on, but he can't do anything about it because if his army turns around, the Manchus cross the wall.
Yeah.
He's got to stay there. So they get into some debates back and forth through letters. Hey, Lee, I don't like you. You need to be doing this. This isn't right, et cetera, et cetera.
F*** you, clown. Watch it, market. Sorry, I apologize. Watch the wall. We got this at the home base.
And then he gets word.
I hate you so much.
Li Zhecheng has selected his concubines for his court.
Oh, no. He took the wife.
He took the wife. He took Chen Yuan Wan.
What a dick. Yo, now here it comes. And now so the guy now goes, yo, Mongols.
Yep. Opens the gate.
Roll out.
He opens the gate and the Manchus swarm in.
Wow. Now here's the thing. Does he make a side deal with the Manchus?
Yeah, he gets a good deal out of it. He gets a nice castle at the end of this.
I'm done with this.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And to this day, he's still considered one of China's greatest traitors.
But not
Benedict Cumberbatch of his day.
No, when you say greatest traitor, like, is he revered or?
No, hated, scorned, like almost.
Except by the Manchus. The Manchus still love him.
Yeah, almost out of the history books. Yeah, for that.
Really?
They consider because he betrayed true Chinese people for foreigners.
Oh, but they don't say anything about the emperor taking his girl?
No.
Oh, it's just part of China.
Yeah, it's part. You should still be loyal to your blood.
Wow, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So is he erased from the... There's no...
It's not mentioned much. He's like a Benedict Arnold, really. Just
he doesn't
kind of
have
a
statue?
No statues.
He's a footnote.
Yeah.
Wow, no statues.
Just kind of spit upon for doing what he thought was the right thing at the time. Just open the door and totally... Wiped him out.
Wow, dude. That's, but I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah, this is the great debate.
I don't blame him, dude. He's out there. He's fighting for China.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving his all. He gets a beautiful wife out of it, out of appreciation for what he's done to save China.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
The new guy comes in and he's like,
I want this one. What do you mean? You can't have that one. Well, do you see the dickhead letters this guy's been writing me? Watch, I'm going to take his girl.
Uh-huh.
He ain't going to do nothing. What's he going to do? He's going to man that wall. What's he going to do?
He just opened the door. Oh, this nice.
Mm-hmm. And that was the last pure Chinese dynasty.
Wow, dude. Mm-hmm. But
ended in 1640.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Because of pussy.
Yeah.
Remember that, people. Pussy will always ruin history. Empires had fallen.
Uh-huh.
Didn't Achilles was the Greek?
The whole Trojan War was fought over
a woman.
Helen, yeah.
So
there's a couple of instances, yeah, where a woman has.
I can't
down.
Wait to have Jeanine Klein here.
Okay.
Because we can bring that up when women ruin history.
Women ruin history. Okay.
That's gonna be fun.
And we're like, yeah. And we'll bring it up. It's like, listen, we all know Amelia Earhart crashed that plane. Right? She wasn't that good. She fell asleep or lost direction.
She didn't ask for directions.
Yeah, she didn't know where she was going. Mm-hmm. But she insisted, I know where I'm going, Steve. Mm-hmm. I know. No, but I'm going to give you where you're supposed to go. I'm Amelia f***ing Earhart. I know, Mark. God damn it. My bad.
It's all right. You did well. You did well for this show.
Oh, what are we adding this?
50.
Nice. What? See, this is what we need. I needed that week, get re-energized and stuff like that. We learned a lot. We learned with China.
Yeah. Leave one of the dynasties, yeah.
The Ming Dynasty had nothing to do with Flash Gordon.
No.
Nunchucks.
Guns
over nunchucks.
Guns over nunchucks. And don't steal someone's girl. And
don't steal somebody's girl.
Especially if that dude's keeping your country safe.
Yeah, if he's guarding, yeah.
And if you want to have a good, loyal army, you have to make him eunuchs.
Yeah, no, I don't know, because they're the ones that at the end they were running ragged, right? Yeah.
The one that betrayed him was the non-eunuch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
See? Yeah, but that's because of the chick. Yeah, yo, that's right. Because
of the chick.
There was no issue before.
But if he would have made him a eunuch.
Yeah, maybe.
That wall would have stand than the Manchus.
Then again, maybe the chance of getting the best concubine in the country is what made him such a great fighter. It's a conundrum that we'll never solve, Pedro.
Eventually, we will. There's a lot of episodes still left in this bad boy. The devil's in the details. We appreciate you guys for listening to the show. Honestly, please follow us on Twitter, The Devil's Deeps. Feel free to email us at thedevilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com. Facebook, please follow PFT Media. We are proud members of the Army, along with all our brothers in shows. Cinema Crespo Diesel, What the Fuzz.
Poking the Bear.
Poking the Bear.
Scotch a Good Conversation.
That Guy, Orlando Opinions.
Yes, Simon Time Trivia Show.
Simon Time.
Pounding the Gap, the sports show has started.
It has? Yes. Okay.
People should check out Pounding the Gap, a sports show. New episode every Friday night, I believe.
Eventually, we'll have some females. Relax.
Don't worry, we'll get there.
Relax, working bitches. We don't want you to ruin. We don't want you to ruin this empire. Okay, but we'll get there. Tell your friends, please. Spread us along. You know, you listen on iTunes or Stitcher. However you're listening to, tell them that we have it. Go get it. Go.
You can find it.
Go.
Don't Google search it, though.
Don't Google search it. Because there's a lot of devil's details.
There's mostly the Jersey Devils podcast.
There's a bunch of them. And in iTunes, you'll see the picture of me and Dan Perella.
Yep.
Always rocking in front of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anything? Let me see. We got the shout-outs. We got the shows. When we come back.
Yeah.
We got jump in, bro.
Oh, any Angel Rivera facts?
Oh,
Angel Rivera facts.
I don't think I have any good Angel Rivera facts anymore. I don't.
That's it?
But,
already?
But, I was expecting so many. I know. But I just
you had all the dirt.
You know what? It started happening. I found my I used to use a program called Writer on Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I found all these little facts that I used to have. And I had celebrity facts for, because we were going to do a segment on El Chupa podcast when we have Brianna as a kid.
Yes.
Just read. Like these facts. Yeah. And one of the facts was, did you know that Mike Tyson almost paid a zoo attendant $1,500 so he can open the cage and he can go punch a gorilla while he was on a date?
Yep.
And I was thinking about this and I'm like, man, I would love to see that fight. You know what I mean?
Because, young Mike Tyson versus a gorilla.
Yeah, or even now Mike Tyson versus a gorilla.
Nah, he just get...
Dude, but he... yo, he has a tiger. He has a tiger as a pet.
And does he?
Are you sure
you didn't just see The Hangover?
No, those dude, movies aren't documentaries. No. This is for real because there's stories about people going to Mike Tyson's house and there's a tiger roaming around the front lawn like it's a pit bull.
That's crazy.
Kind of thing. That's insane, B. So there's that fact. Another fun fact was when Marlon Brando said that Indian chick to accept the Oscar as a protest. I'll find it and I'll dig them up. I'll probably have Brianna read it now. She's 14 years old, so the voice is not that cute. But
it's a little bit annoyed.
Yeah. But it's hilarious. The other day I told her, Brianna, clean your room. She says, you're always insisting... about me cleaning the room and stuff like that, but you never asked me about the cocaine that's under the mattress. And I'm like, what? And she just starts laughing. So she has
wow.
That. Dude, she did the wit on that kid. Ah, oh, bless
really, her. Living with you, huh? Yeah,
who would have known?
I know. But yeah, support all the shows. Spread along to just one friend. Big ups to everybody that loves the show and shows love on Twitter, Facebook, and stuff like that. I haven't forgot about you, UK.
Yeah.
You know who I'm coming for you, Bugsy. And anything you want to plug, brother?
No, I'm good. You good? Man.
All right. Thank you for you learned a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. No, it's a big honor.
Thank you. Well, it's not that crazy.
It's off with my first podcast.
Is it for real?
Yeah, it's the first time I popped my cherry.
Oh, dude. You got to do Cinema Crespo Diesel. That's the best podcast out there. God damn it. All right, let me get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Raul Strong, Puerto Rico. Raul Strong. And like always.
We're waiting on you, Beyonce.
Thank you. Good night. You've been terrific, really. We love you. Thank you for being so special tonight. And putting up with the rain. And putting up with us.
A PFT Media production.